This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
It's touching, it's funny, it's sad to get on the internet and look up suggestions for traits you should look for in a future mate. Some of them make you laugh. Some of the lists, you know, that people give, they do it kind of tongue-in-cheek and facetiously. But others are very serious. And there was one woman by the name of Kristen Dalton Wolf who wrote 12 non-negotiables. You're looking for a husband. You're looking for a wife. These are the 12 non-negotiable things you've got to look for, the qualities. And I'm just going to go through them quickly. I think it speaks to people today. Number one, make sure the person you are looking at is a practicing believer. Not a believer, but a practicing believer. There's a difference between somebody who says, yeah, I believe. Yeah, sure. Good with that. I was raised in the church, and my great-grandfather was a preacher, so I'm into that. You got to be a practicing believer, and you look for somebody who's a practicing believer, which means what? They live it. It's part of their life. It's part of their culture. It's a part of who they are. Number two, make sure that God is the center of his or her life. Number three, make sure he or she has integrity and does not put himself in tempting situations. Some of you know men who put themselves in tempting situations and they say, can't believe it happened. Doggone it, just had no idea. Or a woman who says, I put myself in tempting situations, but I can't believe that things went south. And that's what happens. Number four, make sure you find somebody who's open to getting counsel. Beware the man or woman says, I don't need to talk to anybody. I've got it all together. Number five, make sure that he or she is slow to anger. There's peace in knowing that your future spouse holds an even temperament, even when they are provoked. That's interesting. Number six, make sure he or she holds strong convictions about the sacredness of fidelity. They understand faithfulness, they understand fidelity, and they hold it sacred. Number seven, make sure he or she is honorable of your heart and emotional well-being. I don't know how many times I've talked to people over 30 years in the ministry of people who say, if I didn't know it any better, I would think that she wants to destroy me emotionally. If I didn't know any better, I would swear he's trying to destroy me emotionally. Everything he says, everything she says, tears me down emotionally. So make sure you find somebody who's honorable of your heart and emotional well-being. Number eight, make sure you find somebody who lives a life of integrity. Personal and ethical integrity. I thought this was interesting. Make sure they've got a work ethic, a solid work ethic. That's biblical. Book of Proverbs. Number 10, make sure they pursue and love you passionately. Make sure they pursue you and love you passionately. Number 11, make sure he or she romances you. Number 12, make sure they're humble and can admit when they are wrong. Don't raise your hands, but everybody knows a man or woman who never admits they're wrong about anything. You're wrong, but not me. He's wrong, but not me. She's wrong, but not me. We know the drill when it comes to that. And you say, why are you sharing that list of 12 non-negotiables when you're looking for a future spouse? Because today, I've never done this before in a sermon. I've got 19 points. 19 things that the Apostle Paul told Timothy have nothing to do with people and have nothing to do with these 19 traits of an ungodly man or an ungodly woman. It's going to blow your mind today. It really will. It's in the book of 2 Timothy, the third chapter. It's only 5 verses long, but it has 19 points. We'll get through them quickly.
Well, that'll have to do for today on Cross Hope. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow to hear the rest of this message, beginning with the text from 2 Timothy 3. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or any message you've heard on Cross Hope. God bless you and thanks for listening.
And you say, why are you sharing that list of 12 non-negotiables when you're looking for a future spouse? Because today, I've never done this before in a sermon. I've got 19 points. 19 things that the Apostle Paul told Timothy have nothing to do with people and have nothing to do with these 19 traits of an ungodly man or an ungodly woman. It's going to blow your mind today. It really will. It's in the book of 2 Timothy, the third chapter. It's only 5 verses long, but it has 19 points. We'll get through them quickly. It goes like this, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Wow, having a form, a frame of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. What I'm going to do today is begin with verse 1 and tell you a little bit about that. Then I'm going to say something that may even shock you a little bit, and then I'm going to go through the 19 things. I'm going to ask you today to take a pen, if you're willing to do this, or a pencil, and I'm going to ask you to change a word in the Bible that you've never heard anybody, I've never said that before, ever. But I really am going to ask you to change a word of the Bible, but for a reason, a biblical reason. Verse 1 says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. I want you to mark out the word last and put now. There will be terrible times in the now days, because this is now. You may never have thought about this before, but the last days began when Jesus rose from the dead, in my opinion. Did you know when Jesus was on the cross, he said 3 of the most important words in history? It is finished. Everything that he came to do, everything that was the purpose of his coming, was accomplished when on the cross. The atonement of the sins of the world was on him, and that's why Jesus could say with authority and power and humility, it's finished. It is finished. And so I believe at the death of Christ, and then of course with his resurrection 3 days later, that was the beginning of the last days. We're in the last days. So when you read verse 1, that you tend to say, well, that's up in the future. No, it's now. Just look at Facebook. And you'll see these qualities. That's what several people told me. They said, as I heard you preach, all I could think of was Facebook, describing the character qualities. Let's talk about them. John Piper is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's one of my favorite authors. He gives just a one-phrase definition of all these. That's why I can go through these quickly. First of all, people will be lovers of self. And then secondly, lovers of money. Everything falls under those two headings. All of these qualities come under people who are lovers of themselves and lovers of money. That's really true. He says lovers of self actually is a reference to narcissism. We live in a narcissistic age where people are obsessed with themselves, and there's a clinical definition of narcissism that's scary. A true narcissist isn't interested in how this, what I'm doing, affects my children. A true narcissist will say, I don't care what I'm doing because I don't care how it impacts dad or mom. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care how it impacts my children. I don't care how it impacts my spouse, because you see, it's all about me. And isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, would say something that identifies a cultural marker of our day? People will be lovers of themselves or narcissistic. And isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, would say something that identifies a cultural marker of our day? People will be lovers of themselves or narcissistic. They will be lovers of money. They will be materialistic, Piper says. Materialistic. We serve the God of materialism. Materialism drives our culture. It drives families. It drives companies. It drives everybody in a community. We are in an age where people not only love themselves, they love money. Thirdly, they're boastful. They're loving to draw attention to their accomplishments. I think that's probably what somebody was identifying with Facebook. Proud. They have an inflated view of self, John Piper says. Abusive. Wanting to be verbally hurtful. I found that interesting. Don't raise your hands. But have you ever known somebody in your family or extended family that seemed to delight in being verbally hurtful? You know, there's some people who are adept at putting the screws to you verbally. Do you know what I mean by that? They know how to cut you. They know what hurts you. They know what wounds you. And sometimes when a person that's close to you can be the one who's the most aware of your vulnerability, and that's what Paul says he calls abusive, wanting to be verbally hurtful. This is interesting. Disobedient to their parents. Piper says it means they have a rebellious spirit. This may surprise you, but even if you don't like your parents, you better be careful how you treat them. Now, this will really surprise you. Even if you hate your mom and dad, you better be careful how you treat them. Why? Because I say so? No, because one of the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and mother so that it goes well with you the rest of your life. There's a life blessing or the withholding of a life blessing on your life and mine based on how we treat our parents. And that blows my mind. It's the only commandment, the Bible says, with the promise. Honor your father and mother so that it'll go well with you and you'll live a long life on this earth. I didn't say that. God did. Ungrateful, assuming that you have a right to the things you get. That's an interesting definition of the word ungrateful. I wouldn't have defined it that way, but John Piper says it's assuming that you have a right to the things you get. I earned it. It's mine. I worked for it. It's mine. Nobody's going to take it from me. That's ungrateful, not realizing that God is responsible for everything in your life. Unholy means you're indifferent. You're indifferent to the attitudes that reflect the values of Jesus. To be unholy doesn't mean you just, you know, you don't care about religion. You're just indifferent. You don't care about what matters to Jesus. Without love means unable to sympathize or empathize. Another definition of narcissism, by the way, without love. Unforgiving, unwilling to forgive. You know, it's not a question of people not forgiving. It's a question of people not even being willing to forgive. That's the issue. Did he forgive you? Well, that's not the issue. He's unwilling to forgive you. Did she forgive you? No, she's unwilling to forgive. That's the greater issue. Slanderous is interesting. It's Piper says it's devilishly distorting what other people say and do. I've always defined slander biblically as speech that injures. It's not the legal definition that, you know, a lawyer would use in a court of law. Slander means speech that injures biblically, which, guess what? That means that husbands in this room have slandered their wives this week. Wives in this room have slandered their husbands this week. Parents have slandered their children, and children have slandered their parents this week. Speech that injures.
Well, this message continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. Well, having spoken on the radio for over 30 years, I can honestly tell you I've never given a message with 19 points, and yet that's what we're attempting this week. Looking at 2 Timothy 3, the first five verses, where the Apostle Paul identifies 19 traits or qualities that we are to avoid in other people and avoid in ourselves. We began with talking about people being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, and slanderous. We pick it up there with the first one we talk about today, without self-control. God bless you as you listen.
Without self-control means they're a slave to their appetites. A person without self-control says, I'm a slave to my appetites. Brutal means I'm dead to all tenderness, according to John Piper, dead to all tenderness. Not loving good is a person who's unable to see moral beauty and also unable to see righteousness. A person who is a not loving good is a person who makes fun of people who believe in a moral standard. Well, who do you think you are? That's not loving the good. Well, who made you so holy? That's not loving the good. It's an attitude of the spirit that you resent and even hate anything to do with righteousness. Treacherous, Piper says, means breaking promises for your own advantage. If you're treacherous, you're a man or woman who's willing to break your promises for your own advantage. Rash has to do with craving attention or admiration for taking a risk. I didn't mention this in the first service, but did any of you see the video this week of the guy at the train rolling himself under a moving train and then rolling out? I mean, it's moving 40 miles an hour. That's taking a little bit of risk to just throw your body under a train and then roll back out just to get attention, to get people to admire you, according to this. Conceited, blind to the ugliness of self-preoccupation. Blind to the ugliness of self-preoccupation is being conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Finding more pleasure and satisfaction in the physical than in the spiritual. Finding more satisfaction in the physical rather than the spiritual. And then number 19. Wow, 19. I've never done this before. I've gone through so many points. Having the appearance of godliness or a form of godliness, but denying its power. And John Piper says it's using religion for personal gain without honoring Christ. Wow. Using religion for personal gain without honoring Christ. I want to focus on verse 5 for just a moment and wrap up this message. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying its power have nothing to do with them. A form of godliness and denying its the power is this, is being religious but not necessarily spiritual. In fact, Barclay has a great definition of it. The final condemnation of these people is that they retain the outward form of religion, but they deny its power. That is to say, they know the creeds. They go through the movements of a correct and dignified ritual or liturgy or worship. They maintain all the external forms, but they know nothing about the dynamic power of Jesus Christ changing lives. No one need even approach Christianity unless they are prepared to undergo a personal revolution through the changing power of God. That's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, if any man or woman is in Christ, they're new creations. They're not religious. They're brand new people. It's not a matter of becoming religious. It's a matter of having your life changed, radically changed. Radical life transformation through the power of the gospel of Christ.
We'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. God bless.
And I said something interesting, I think. I said, this may sound melodramatic to some people and over the top, but what if you were to get home today, lock yourself in the bathroom, stand in front of the mirror, and read these five verses and say, God, help me. God, I beg you to help me to make sure that these are not a part of my life. What? I'm going to read the list to you again. Here's what I'm going to ask God not to be a part of my life, and you're going to pray, God, make sure it's not a part of my life. People, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And you can call it the people or you can call it the 19 things. Doesn't matter. Have nothing to do with them. That's the message of verse 5. Did you know the Bible says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, that God wants to have a relationship with you and me where he says, I want to be your father. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my son. God of creation, who created Pluto a few miles from here, is the God who said, I created you, and I created you to be my son or my daughter. Isn't that amazing? The God of all creation, and the more you learn about creation and the universe, the more impressed I become about the majesty and the power of God. That's the one who said, I want to have a relationship with you. And you say, how do you know that? The cross. Jesus. It's all about Christ. God loved the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus, John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not perish or die spiritually, but have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. God sent his son. Christ died on the cross, and Jesus on the cross said, it's finished, it's done. I've accomplished the mission I came to accomplish. And now we're in the last days, we're in the nowadays. All men and women are sons of God and daughters of God in terms of creation, but it's only through Christ that a man or woman becomes a son or daughter in the fullest sense of the word. Some of you will be able to hear the music in your head as I read the lyrics of this song by John Moore, written years ago. It's one of my favorite hymns. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful.
Well, you know you can listen to this message again by going to crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to CrossHope.
You've been listening to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. CrossHope is listener-supported and is produced by CrossHope Ministries, Incorporated.